Hello, I'm Oliver Wong.
And I'm Morgan Rhodes. You're listening to Hate Rocks. Every episode, we invite a guest to join us to talk about, you know, fire, flammables, combustibles. And today, we're going cold, as in Cold Devil, the late 2017 mixtape by LA's Draco, the Ruler.
In Cavalli, but I came out the slums. On Rodeo, but I still got my drum. Thought I had life until I posted a dub. Man, tell these niggas I'm as real as they come. Just hop off, I am more with my thugs. They like Draco, man, you back on that bull.
Hood fame, according to the Urban Dictionary, is, quote, a term used when someone is known in their neighborhood, town, or city for certain reasons, mostly by reputation or infamy, like being talented, or activity in the community, good or bad. Hood famous, it goes on to say, is to be famous in the streets where you were raised. Draco's famous for, among other things, his flow. It's different, to say the least. He raps to the beat of his own drum, his own cadence, his own rhythms, sometimes on the beat, sometimes not on the beat. Cold Devil, Draco's 2017 release, recorded in less than 2 weeks, is full of turns of phrases and terminology, not cryptic, just colorful tales of adventures and encounters in the city of dope. Halfway through the album, you get the sense that Draco and his crew are a lot cooler than you, but accept that and move forward. Let this narrative carry you and impress you as it did me. Be wooed by a dude whose sound to me is E-40-ish, but whose situation is Snoopish. Murder was the case that they gave him.
Valley Total Fitness, where I make all my runs. Cold Devil Dragon Minx on the floor. Ain't nobody finna book me at these niggas, yeah, they know. Get you whacked for these goodies and this glide back on the floor. Yeah, Mr. Fucking Moles, pay attention to my quotes. I'm a menace ass dentist, man, I'm sinister with orange. Brains missing in the orange, trying to get these lucky charms. Call it
Cold Devil was the pick of this week's guest, L.A. music journalist Jeff Weiss. I first met Jeff through his long-running blog, The Passion of the Weiss. Excellent blog name, by the way, which he started back in the early blog era of 2005. He is, of course, one of the city's most prolific and stalwart music journalists, having written for many years for the L.A. Weekly back when it was, you know, good, along with Pitchfork, Vice is Noisy, and a slew of other outlets. He is the author of Tupac vs. Biggie, an illustrated guide to rap's greatest battle from 2014. And he is the co-host of the Shots Fired podcast, along with No Can Do, which is nearing its 100th episode. We can only imagine getting Heat Rocks to 100. So good looks for that, Jeff, and welcome to Heat Rocks.
Thanks for having me.
I think anyone who follows your work knows that you're a fan of Draco because you've written multiple stories about him over the last couple of years. And you describe him in one of your pieces as the ascendant ruler of West Coast rap, which is pretty high praise. How did you first cross paths with him?
You know, it's funny. The first time I heard Draco, I just saw the name and I thought it was someone like some, you know what I mean? It's some unoriginal rapper trying to steal Drake's name.
Yeah.
You know what? No good. Don't do that.
Yeah, no, not the case, actually. Well, one of the things and then I realized that, you know, you think it's like after the gun, but it was after the Greek tyrant that gave us the word draconian. So that was one of the first times where I knew that he was definitely operating on a higher level.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. And then I think it must have been Mr. Get Dough. That was kind of his breakout song when I probably first heard him. He kind of had the cosign of DJ Mustard at the time when Mustard was really blowing up, like YG was everywhere. Mm. Draco's song Mr. Get Dough was actually a song that he had put on SoundCloud with his friend Catchy the Great. And Mustard like saw it, heard it, it was already kind of bubbling, made a whole remix, made a video for it, and then that was sort of Draco's like, he's here moment.
Snakes calling on my phone. All I know is get dough, next face sounds swell. Try to play me on my dough.
It took off, and when I first heard him, yeah, I liked it, but I didn't love it the way that I grew to love it. Now, he's probably, in my opinion, like, the best rapper alive right now for this moment. So
high praise. Just a question about how you came to experience the mixtape for the first time.
It must have been, like a SoundCloud thing. It probably was the first or the second Mr. Mosley. Those were his, like, kind of his, like, breakout mixtapes. He put out 3 mixtapes in 2015, 2016, and then he goes to jail for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was the first time I encountered him, was when he was in jail. He had just put out it was a mixtape called So Cold, I Do 'Em, and then immediately went into jail. And this tape was just him kind of freestyling over certain songs. A couple of them blew up. And he was sitting in county, and that was like kind of the first. He'd had other like legal kind of troubles in his past, but this was like the first time that he got locked up for like a full year. And it seemed like under kind of dubious circumstances. They raided a condo near the airport where Draco was with some friends, and they shot a bunch of videos there. And his name wasn't on the lease, but they couldn't necessarily prove. I don't think that any of the guns belonged to him, but they charged him. I think he didn't have any. I think he had money, but I don't think he had whoever his lawyer was basically advised him. I think to take a plea to sit down for a little bit, and then I met him. You know, and I went down to county. You know, he's in the jumpsuit. It was just weird because there. You know, like I'd never met him, and I was just like, you know, hey, what's up? You know, and I was talking to him about what's interesting to me is because his style is so singular and original. You know, when you have such an original flow, sometimes it's like, well, I studied this person. I mean, we talk about Kendrick Lamar, right? He's kind of the rapper that, like, you know, probably is a reasonable choice for the best rapper of this decade, for sure.
Okay.
And right. Definitely on the short list, no matter who right. you are, you have to agree with that.
Yeah.
But Kendrick, you can tell, studied Eminem. He studied DMX. He definitely studied Lil Wayne, like, very heavily. And then kind of he took all these things and made it his own. The Corrupt, you know, like Def Tupac, obviously. But Draco, I asked him, you know, who did you listen to growing up? Because I figured like Sugar Free or E-40 or something. Because those were the most logical.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, not really. Like, he's like, my brother, Ralphie, who was in the Stink Team, listened to Sugar Free. But I think in one of those stories, it was kind of like, you know, the story of like Athena, you know, coming out just fully formed. It's just, it's like a style that just kind of like a mutation inside his own head.
So what was your first reaction to Cold Devil? Did you listen to it straight through? Did you get stuck on any particular songs? Were there songs that you were like, this is fire?
Yeah. Well, the first one was Big Bang Gucci's.
I should be baptized. I poured a 5 and a 20-ounce and passed out. Big Bang Gucci's on the dashboard, NASCAR. Rob Hootie on bath salt, Max Ball. It was all in the Jansport, transport. 12 at night, I'm a vampire, transform. Big Bang Gucci's on the dashboard, that part.
So what happened was he goes to jail. He gets out last December. You know, and it was kind of like a joyous homecoming because while he was gone. So in the last year, you know, I started putting on more shows. And there was one show that kind of crystallized what it seemed like it was a burgeoning scene. It was O3 Greedo, Ralphie the Plug, who's Draco's brother, also locked up in jail now. Ketchy the Great performed, also Instinct Team, also in jail now. But they're part of the Draco indictment. It's like all one thing. And it must have been 300 people into the Echo on a Monday night. You know, it was free. And it really felt like a thing where like, wow, okay, well, this is an actual thing. This isn't just like something, you know, you're writing about on the internet. Like, this was the first time that people had kind of seen like this movement,
yeah.
It felt like.
Yeah.
And so obviously Ralphie was there. And then so when Draco came home, everyone was like, okay, well, finally he's home. Like, he's the coronation right now. And then he dropped the Big Bang Gucci song, and I thought it was like, incredible, you know, and just the color. He's such a colorful writer.
Mm-hmm.
And his flow is, it's weird, right? You know, I think you kind of touched on it really well. I think, you know, it's, he almost invents his own beat.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't talking about like no dashboards or no O2 Maseratis or no shit like that. I'm talking about like you know how the 2016 GLE coupes. I'm talking about like high speed chases and shit. Like you just gotta go crazy. Like, I just throw that thing in sport or sport plus or something.
In a way, it's like it's funny because people, you know, use mumble rap to talk about like Young Thug, and it's like Young Thug wasn't mumbling. He just is. Kind of hard to interpret, but
right,
if you
right.
listen closely, you can interpret
right,
it.
Right.
But Draco is definitely mumble rapping, you know, like, but in a great way. Like, I love those mumbling asides at the end of the songs where he's just talking shit. It reminds me of like a 50, like how 50 Cent used to do that, where he would just be like bragging and,
right.
you know.
We were talking before we start taping in terms of why you wanted to pick this album is partially you said that Cold Devil is, and Draco in general, is a good lens through which to understand what hip-hop is like in L.A. in 2018. I'm wondering if you could just elaborate on what you mean by that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a variety of reasons for that, right? Like, I'll start with Draco comes up with the name Nervous Music. And I interviewed Draco, and I was like, I asked him about it, and he's like, how am I going to, like, what do you, he's like, I'm driving around in, like, a $100,000 car with people trying to kill me. I live a nervous lifestyle. Then you have Draco is sort of, to me, invents like almost like a new lyrical style. and Flo, you know, because I mean, right, like hip hop is like any art form, you know, you have the innovators and you have the imitators. And I think in L.A., like Draco is sort of exists. There are a lot of Draco, like, you know, I won't name their names, but like they're certainly out there who are kind of they've made careers off of kind of sounding like Draco. Mm. And then on the album, of course, you have O3 Greedo, who to me, he was another person I was like really considering, but he's such a big part of this album. Him and Draco were really tight. They didn't know each other actually until Draco got out, so they only really met for 2 weeks. But before Greedo went in, I got to talk to him, and I asked him, you know, who's the smartest person you've ever met? And he goes, Draco. Draco's almost like the brain. Greedo's like almost like the heart of LA music right now. Mm. And then you have OGZ from Shoreline Mafia, who's on the album twice, who is another rapper who I think would be he'd be unabashed in his the fact that he's kind of paying homage to Draco's style. He's done his own thing with it. He's original. But it's very much like Draco was the kind of originator of that.
Draco in his music and his crew really seems to be at these multiple intersections in terms of where hip-hop is in L.A.
Yeah.
And if I could just sort of pull back the scope here for a minute and try to go a little bit big picture, it's been the case for, you know, 10 plus years now where rap genres may have regional origins, but they very quickly become adopted nationally, right?
Yeah.
So you got Toronto rappers doing bounce songs. You got Atlantic trap style production, which has obviously become the dominant sonic palette for most contemporary rap music, period. Where does Los Angeles fit in this current moment in terms of is there an LA style that has reemerged, is completely new and bubbling up that doesn't necessarily have ties to like what we think of as West Coast or LA hip hop before? Like, yeah, how do you put LA into sort of the current regional / national conversation?
I definitely think it's really only in the dialogue with the Bay right now. The Bay has an idea, LA takes it. LA has an idea, the Bay takes it. It's always been like that. You know, like Master P, like obviously took so much from Tupac, but Tupac was from Oakland or was from Marin.
Right.
But from New York and Baltimore and everywhere else.
Yeah.
So there's this kind of this dialogue, you know, and with the South too. I think Greedo, like he was obsessed with Louisiana. And there's, I think, a reason for that. You know, I talked to him a lot about it. And, you know, a lot of people in Watts originally, their families came from Mississippi and Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So there's a real Southern influence just in Watts alone. So, yeah. So I do think regionalism is like having a crazy resurgence where there's artists also like I'm not even mentioning who weren't even on the album. But like there's a very like L.A. sound that's kind of emerged out of nowhere. Whereas it was always there was the Hollywood thing about it. Right. So like
right.
L.A. would you get a deal real fast. You know, and now, like, this scene has kind of cropped up where it's, like, there is no crossover. Like, if anything, you'll see these rappers play to high schools in, like, Lancaster or, like, Hemet.
Mm.
So you also see the kind of all these, like, different cross-sections. And for me, this has been the most exciting time to really cover L.A. hip-hop because, you know, we talk about even with, like, TDE, right, which was, like, the last, you know, TDE and Odd Future, I think, were probably the last, like, real movements.
Yeah.
And that got industry very fast.
It did get industry very fast, and I'm glad that you brought that up because I think a lot of people, especially between like 2015 and 2017, thought that the sound of LA hip hop was Odd Future, and sort of Tyler the Creator became the face of like this is the new sound, like everybody skates and goes to Fairfax
yeah.
and wears Supreme, and so a lot of these other acts became known as underground acts because that look, that sound came to the forefront. That was the sound for a really, really long time.
Totally.
Like the whole Flower Boy thing.
Completely, yeah.
And so to get back to this, where it's gotten a little bit more grimy, certainly some of the themes that Draco's talking about, this is a revelation for me because for so long it's been this other thing.
More of our conversation with journalist Jeff Weiss about Draco the Ruler's Cold Devil after a brief word from a couple of our sibling Maximum Fun podcasts. Keep it locked.
Hi, I'm Dave.
Hi, I'm Graham.
And we're two house DJs who have been trapped inside our drum machine.
We love it here, and we'd love if you stopped by and visited us every week on Stop Podcasting Yourself
here on MaximumFun.org.
We're just a couple of doofuses from Canada.
And listen to our show or perish. Stop Podcasting Yourself
on MaximumFun.org.
Hey, Kira. So Max FunCon tickets go on sale this Friday, November 23rd at 11 a.m. Pacific, and I'm trying to write a promo.
Okay, so what do they need to know to look forward to? Inspiring classes.
Live podcast tapings.
A stand-up showcase.
The s'mores party.
Making new friends.
Don't forget about the dance party!
Oh, and it all takes place on a beautiful mountaintop.
Okay, got it. Anything else?
Well, if we missed anything, they can find all the details at maxfuncon.com.
And we'll see you in June.
I think that went really well.
That went really good, too.
That sounded good.
Great job!
We are back on Heat Rocks, talking with Jeff Weiss about Draco's Cold Devil. Let's get into a little bit of the lingo on here. There are three songs on here that all reference the word no, which had me scratching my head. I'm like, is the word no slang for something, right? They don't know you. I don't know nothing. Neiman and Marcus don't know you. So I'm just going to ask you as an expert, man, is the word no a slang for something that I'm missing here?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just Draco's a negative person.
Okay.
That's what I like about him.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
He likes pointing out the ignorance in the world.
Okay.
Yeah, no, Draco is very smart and like very, he's an interesting guy. Like he's very into The Simpsons, which I don't think translated to most kids like 25 years old, 24 years old.
Sure.
Like, but he's like, he mentions Sideshow Bob all the time.
Yeah.
You know, he'll like do weird things with like, he'll like rap about like Mason Margiela's like and like the Masons. You know, he'll like play off of each other.
Sure.
Right.
Like Neiman and Marcus don't even know you. Like that to me was like when I heard that, I was like what a way to diss somebody. It's like and then you think about Draco like just marching into Neiman Marcus like walking on the marble floors confidently and like
right.
just taunting his enemies, but I mean like they have no knowledge of you at any of the department stores on Rodeo Drive.
Amen. I didn't know if it was biblical because in the church when you say, you know, I didn't even know her, I didn't even know him, it means something else. So I thought, Old Testament.
Well, it is because his mom was very into to religion.
Okay.
So even, I bet you it's seeped in because there are a lot of biblical, like he raps about Judas all the
time.
Yeah,
oh yeah.
And to me, Draco had the most original flow since Snoop Dogg when I really think about it. Because when you heard Snoop for the first time, you're like, where the fuck did this come
right,
from?
Right.
I don't know nothing about no murders. I don't know nothing about no killings. The only thing I know is what I know in my business. These niggas eyeballing, I'm assuming they offended. The Grinch just all crazy. I don't know nothing about no murders. I don't know nothing about no killings. The only thing I know is what I know.
I'm wondering, and this is along the lines of the ways in which, you know, he's creating new language, new slang, right?
Yep.
And on this album in particular, the two that stand out to me because they come up on multiple songs are, and as well as two separate songs, is Flu Flammin' and Pippi Longstockings.
Yeah.
The latter of which I believe refers to extended gun clips.
Mm-hmm.
And Flu Flammin' is home robberies.
Yeah, he came up with the word. I don't know how is like where he came up with that because it was flocking.
Okay.
Was the traditional like of the last 10 years slang term.
Okay.
Sure.
And then Flu Flammin'.
Gafflin was before that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Totally.
Let's take a quick listen to Flu Flammin'.
I'm fresh about the slammer. I'm a Flu Flammer, nigga. All these chains on my neck, I need two hammers, nigga. Flu Flammin', nigga. I be Flu Flammin', nigga.
Sure.
Man, kick these niggas on my bench. I'm back up on the crazy shit. Bob a sideshow maniac.
So someone like an E-40, who we've talked a lot about, because I think he is, as far as hip-hop linguistics goes, E-40 is certainly Hall of Fame level. There's always a question here of whether or not the creation of, in particular, new slang words is done in an intentional way in terms of trying to put your stake or trying to find like the right gimmick that then can propel hit song or hit album. As opposed to maybe this stuff just coming up organically because that's sort of where someone's creative head is at. Where does Draco fall in this? Because it does seem like he is pushing hard that he wants people to understand or to use his own terminology because he himself is reusing it on all these songs on the mixtape.
I think he wants both is my gut instinct. I think it's kind of just the way they talk because like the whole thing is like very interesting to me about how his crew came out. Like they were like, I don't know if you've heard the song I Don't Rap Beef. That's like probably my favorite Draco song. He's just also put out a couple like one-off songs that they just randomly released that he'd recorded, and they're my favorite songs of the year, more
okay.
or less.
Okay.
Should be posing for ballin'. I don't rap beef. If it's on, I'ma crash and don't at me. Fuck it, please, bro, at me. They gon' have to find a suitable picture for Fox 11. You ain't learned from Cold Devil. I'm a nuisance. I'm telling. Take a mud walk through names like I got a special power. I got dirty money.
So, like, that was the thing. Like, that was their crew. Like, there are gang members in the Stink Team, but they were not like a gang. They were not necessarily all Bloods or all Crips. Draco, I don't know what his affiliations are now, but had not been affiliated before going to prison, which was also a radical thing to be a gangster rapper in L.A. with no gang affiliation, you know?
Yeah.
And so they were like a robbing crew. Like they were like bandits, you know? And like they would just he'll just come up with crazy slang, like he like you know, and it's probably offensive, but you know, and that's actually an interesting thing because the DA is actually accusing him of being racist against Asian people because some of his slang, like Mei Ling took me shopping, because. Mm-hmm. You know, YG talks about it on Meet the Flockers, but
right, I remember that
the traditional stereotype of Asian people being afraid to put their money in banks, so they would keep a lot of money in the house. So, for whatever it's worth, the Stink Team seems to have kind of taken that idea and would rob a lot of Asian people in, I think, near the where they're from, and so they also got, but also. You know,
this is what he's talking about on Red Tape, Yellow Tape?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so Draco also, but obviously they have a lot of traditionally Asian iconography. Like their logo is a Buddha. And they were accusing him, I guess, of being racist against Asian people for it. And in one of the interviews I said that, and it was actually kind of funny because Draco is so condescending. And he's just like, those fucking idiots. He's like, the Buddha's for good luck and the cat is for good business. I was like, you're really a brilliant guy.
He hangs out in Little Tokyo restaurants a lot because they got the little one, you know, the cat with the raised paw, which is for good luck, as you point out. Yeah. And PSA to all my Asian peeps listening to this, like, please do not keep your valuables inside your house. Like, get that bank vault, get the... a safety deposit box,
yep.
And stop keeping your shit at home so that you don't get run up on and home invaded.
Yeah, if you don't want to be floof-lammed.
Yeah.
I'm a hooligan. Tired of niggas in this goofy-ass jewelry. Take that shit to Pine Bluff with that performery. F and N shell for niggas like Booker T. Silly niggas always talking about bugging me. I think he mad because the Slauson always wubbing him.
Just a quick thing about the lingo again, and you mentioned E-40. One of the things, I mean, just listen to hip-hop over the years, is that I think lingo helps to establish, you know, it's to establish your region, it's
yeah,
to represent.
Completely.
And E-40, especially on some of the earlier material, and even on Hall of Game, I kept thinking, damn, like, if you did, this is like a primer on Oakland. If you didn't know nothing about Oakland,
yeah,
just the lingo itself, it makes you think everybody sounds like E-40.
Totally.
And I knew the Too Short didn't really sound like E-40,
yeah,
but it established the sound to me of the Bay. I thought that everyone sounded like E-40.
Yeah.
And so I think that something about Draco and these terms establishes something about the underside, yeah, of South Central L.A. that we don't really know.
Totally. And I think it becomes like a self-fulfilling kind of thing where it's like, okay, well, they start using the slang and then just random people use the slang. And obviously it spreads to kind of, I mean, it spreads when it ends up being horrible. And then like some Disney pop star starts using flu-flam. It's like Noah Cyrus is using flu-flamming. And then you're like,
it's over.
It's done.
And Jeff, you know that's coming next,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is.
Bobby Lane, Bobby May Lane just took me shopping. Nigga Rob Pope, Pippi Long stocking. All type of cuts. I think I'm Dennis Rodman. Slit wrist, broke all off these diamonds. Mr. Wristbreaker, bitch, take a Glock, but I switch. Blame them shit, man. These shit crazy niggas in these snitch tactics. Niggas that be bitch asses acting like they get at me. You'll get your shit plastered.
You know, you're close to the project. You know, you're close to Draco. You know him. For those that don't, if you wanted to sort of, you know, if you wanted to introduce him, what song on here tells us the most about who he is?
I don't know. That's a really good question. He is kind of like a shadowy character, I think, by design. Like, you know, he's that kind of that black hat outlaw kind of figure. But I think I think it'd be maybe Big Bang Gucci's, where because at the end of it, where he's just like, I'm really standing on Big Bang Gucci's in the mood, like in these Balenciagas bullshit. You know what I mean? Or like, and the other line where he's like I'm a sore winner. I really take the score. I take the scoreboard home with me. That kind of, but I feel like Big Bang Gucci's, especially, it would be the interludes maybe. Like, that would probably be it. It wouldn't even be a song. It would be the not songs.
Sure.
Where he's just mumbling at the end of the tracks because that's how he generally is in real life. That's not like a put on.
Yeah.
That's just he'll be randomly talking to you and he'll just go off on these like
tangents.
Almost like freestyle rants. It's almost like a Muhammad Ali type thing, mm-hmm, but like, you know, or like, you know, it just reminds me of that. Or 50 used to kind of taunt. He almost has a Cameron kind of thing too, a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's just the most confident person ever. But he's always laughing. You know, he'll be like talking. It's crazy about him is, you know, he'll, and also like that, and like when he laughs a lot on the album. And I'll be talking to him, he'll call or something in jail, and he'll just be laughing about it as though it's like the funniest thing in the world. So it's almost, you know, it's surreal, I guess, you know, because I can't even begin to put myself in that situation, but I probably wouldn't be laughing. I'd be probably screaming. But he's just, yeah. And that's also why I think he's not guilty, is I've never seen anybody so unruffled about facing the potential to spend the rest of their life in jail and have their career. But he's just like totally cool about it. He's just like, nah, I'm going to get off. It's fine. And just laughing about it. Like, can you believe this bullshit? Like that they're doing, right. You know, and that to me is, it's definitely, it sounds like an innocent person. I mean, like, you know, like he's one of a kind. I've never seen a personality like him.
So Jeff, what is, and this is going to be hard to pick because it's a longish album and you clearly love every song on here.
I do.
If you
yeah.
had to pick the fire track though, what is it?
All right. Well, I'm going to go with, Neiman and Marcus, they don't know you. Because that to me, like, I like the second one would probably be, I mean, there's four really that stand out for me. It's Neiman Marcus, They Don't Know You, I Don't Know Nothing, The Closer. Because that one really exists almost like a eerie kind of epitaph to kind of his, like, persecution by the police, you know, where it's like, he's like, I don't know nothing, and he's being grilled. The first two songs, Flu Flammin' and
Big
Bang, I mean, Not the Slums is also amazing too, but I would say Neiman Marcus, They Don't Even Know You, because it's just like, that to me is just like, and I asked him, I was like, did you go to Neiman Marcus in those 2 weeks? He's like, no, I had someone pick up some stuff for me. Like, he didn't even go to Neiman Marcus.
See, Neiman Marcus needs to do some kind of brand collaboration now.
That's
just
it.
To capitalize.
That's it.
Luke Skywalking, pints caulking on my attic. Come get slippy with the knock knock bandits. This thing mean it comes to buy my Grammys. I guess that's a double whammy. Niggas be talking all this money and it's fly shit on potos. Nigga name in the markets don't even know you. Niggas talking all these coupes with a dash with your logo. In the back of your Snapchat is a Volvo. Niggas.
But it's also, it's just weird. It's like kind of not like the department. You know what I mean? You think it'd be like Barney's or you think it'd be like the Versace store. And that I get, and I love Migos, but like I think that's the difference between like a Draco and the Migos. It's like the Migos had the Versace and then Draco's like Neiman Marcus, they don't even know you. Which is,
I got so hyped when I saw this in the track listing. I was like, oh my God, Neiman Marcus, because I love conspicuous consumption. So I thought this was going to be a bunch of like a lot of label drops.
Well, there kind of is.
There is.
It's a fine department
store.
There's
underlying things.
Yeah. He's a well-dressed man,
yeah.
You know, and he'll mention like things in offhand, like where he'll like bring his son Caden in the booth, you know, like because he doesn't have any time. And this album, he dropped it like Christmas of last year. It just flew under the radar.
Yeah.
Right.
And me and a couple like of writers that, you know, have written for my site and now write for a bunch of other places have been kind of screaming really loudly about it, you know. Give credit to Paul Thompson. He's also been waving the flag really loud. But to me, like, this is like recognized genius. And like genius is not like, I looked at the Power 106 playlist and I was like, wow, the best song is a Tyga song. I was like, where are we? And like, to me, Draco, and that's another thing too, where it's like, you know, to pivot back to what I was kind of saying about this record, is like nothing made LA radio. No Greedo songs have made LA radio. None of these Rucci songs have made LA radio. Shoreline Mafia has barely even played on LA radio.
Now, is that a production thing? Is that just the short-sightedness of program directors? Like, why isn't this stuff hitting bigger when, as you're arguing, this has... These folks have local fan base.
Oh yeah, Shoreline. Shoreline is a phenomenon. Yeah. Like Shoreline is arguably the biggest one of all of them by a wide margin.
So then, where's that gap coming from?
I would say, they don't play the game. None of these kids are raw. It's what I like about them. To me, those are like, you know, they are interested in getting covered, I think, properly, and like I think they'd all love to be on the radio, but they're not about to go down and like just kiss ass for an hour. Like they're wild kids. Mm-hmm. We'll see as they get older. I think they'll probably like, you know, maybe get into it, but. Also, radio, LA radio is I would say the worst in America. I hope radio programmers are listening to this, and they should be shot out of cannons because they don't care about local music. I don't think they listen. I don't think the radio matters the same way it did. But yeah, it kind of is bothersome.
Well, Neiman and Marcus is your favorite, but yeah. Is that the fire track though?
The fire track?
Yeah.
I feel the fire track would probably be Flu Flammin', actually.
Okay.
That's the one I think that goes the hardest. Like a bunch of rappers, like Shy Glizzy, I think, remixed it. A bunch of Little Yachty, I think, was trying to do something with it. I mean, that's kind of the one that kind of has, like, taken hold. That seems to be, like, the one banger from the album.
Can you chill out with them Dracos? We just thought this was play, bro. Man, that shit was played out. Like, they don't do what I say, so. You know the rule of, like, the hang, folks.
I'm fresh about the slammer. I'm a flip flammer. Nigga, all these chains on my neck.
So approaching this from the other direction, is there a sleeper jam? Which is kind of hard to say for an album that's not even a year old, but
yeah,
you know, play with this here.
I Don't Know Nothing. That would be the sleeper, because that to me is like this, like deeply paranoid, intense, like. And it really foreshadows, right, what's going to happen to him. So he gets out of jail. He has 2 weeks of freedom. His baby was born when he was in jail. He never got to see his kid. I think his girlfriend brought it to jail once or twice or something. Maybe more. I'm not sure. So, but he finally gets to see his kid, and he seems like a really devoted dad. You know, he mentions his son all the time, and every time I've talked to him, he seems to be like a really, you know, proud of having a son and loves him. And he gets this 2 week kind of like window of freedom. And then he records like what I consider like a modern West Coast rap masterpiece in just 2 weeks, songs that he'd mostly written in jail. Like he'd written, you know, people would play him beats. He'd write the song in jail, like, you know, while they, you know, they just play him a beat over the phone for like an hour. He does this and immediately gets arrested. This is about right after New Year's. It was about a year to the date where he'd gotten arrested the first time. And then they bring him to the station. This kicks off like a whole period of persecution, you know, and he didn't even start rapping, I think, until he kind of like went, you know, when he was facing the fact that like, what am I going to do? I mean, that's always so interesting to me. It's a lot of rappers will be like, well, I see no future for myself. I already have a felony. I'm barely 18 years old. College is like not in the picture. I think he went to a few college classes, but dropped out. And then what are you going to do? There's not like job. You know, when you're a convicted felon at 18 years old, like you have very limited options of getting a job. And so he just started rapping and kind of, it really is this, and it just blew up like completely organically. No, you know, no public. It wasn't like I was meeting these people where they're like, oh, the publicist wants you to come into jail at 1:30 p.m. It was like, no, like I showed up and I waited for 4 hours in jail. To me, it's so vital. And I feel like it's the city. And also with O3 Greedo gone, and they were so close and had such an amazing working relationship, it really is heartbreaking for me, because I think that it was really going to be like this great moment of LA rap. And it still is in many ways. Like there are still so many amazing artists putting on music now, but it really felt to me like that death row early 90s moment, kind of where it's like everything is coming together. And it's been, you know, it'd been a quarter century really where it felt like organic. That was the thing about Death Row. I mean, it really felt like all these like swarms, you know, like gets everyone from Long Beach and Dogg is popping up and you're like, it's God, you know, like every hook is the best hook I've ever heard, you know?
Well, this leads into my next question, which is, again, with an older album, we might have asked about taking a song off there and having someone contemporary remix it. But with a new album, that goes out the window. What hasn't Draco done yet that you would like to hear him try to take on?
I think I would really like to see him have his version of it's two sides to it, right? Like I generally am like, when an artist gets into like the industry mix, like their music always suffers. They start like trying to make hits. I don't want to see him do that. I want to see him keep it raw. What I would really love, I mean, really, is that album with O3 Greedo. That to me was like, because they had a magical chemistry. I mean, and the songs are on the album. I mean, like you know, Out the Slums is, I mean, that could be also like my pick, because it's just the two of them are just going back and forth.
Until I posted a dub, man, tell these niggas I'm as real as they come.
White girl, my princess, perfume smell like nail polish. Nail products, bail out 2 times on 1 case in retail models. Heard that and seen this, but guarantee won't tell about it. Play games with this tech and I'ma spit a couple shells out. Nintendo Switch.
I just want that Greedo and Draco album. I want them both free. I mean, the Greedo situation, I don't know how familiar you are with it, but you know, he got, again, from Watson, he spent most of his 20s in jail, you know, for various things, got shot, like almost had to get his leg amputated, survived, watched his best friend Little Money get murdered, you know, and his rap partner. And he's like overcoming all these adversities. And then like right before he's about to bubble, he gets arrested near Abilene, Texas, for like 5 pounds of meth or something. So, and they find a gun on him. So he's now sentenced to 20 years in jail. They're hoping he'll get out in 5, and just like he was almost like he could have been like a Mac Dre type thing, where it's like, you know, Mac Dre obviously has his first wave in the 90s, goes to jail for almost 10 years, comes back out, invents hyphy, and then has to go and then gets murdered tragically. And Greedo, it felt like, was kind of having that kind of thing too, where, you know, he's 31 years old now, you know, 5 years in jail, you come out, you're 36, it's just not the same. But that's, I really hope Kim Kardashian actually would focus our energies on getting Greedo free, because if you're going to start doing it, like he's a great and a guy whose music meant so much to so many people, especially you know, you go to these shows, and especially with Greedo, I mean, people knew every word. Draco, it's harder to know every word because it's just like it's. Right. I'm still figuring right. out certain intricacies of the album, but Greedo just had really the soul of L.A. This like in a way that I hadn't seen in L.A. produced, because I love YG. He's this organic from this, you know, like grassroots figure, but his music is more like kind of stylized, poppy, kind of ratchet, kind of like more sure. sexual. Greedo's music was more, you know, it had all that, but it also it reminded me of a Tupac, a Boosie, the stuff that kind of just that marrow music that kind of just you feel like the entirety of human existence and pain kind of just coursing through you, and just to see him get locked up and then to see Draco get locked up has been kind of the city mourns. Mm.
I can't let you get out of here without mentioning Roll Bounce and Blamped. Those are my favorites. I thought they were going to come up.
It's Danny Brown's favorite is Blamped.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Blamped 400, I didn't blamped on my forms. Blamped 400, I didn't blamped on my forms.
Blamped. Oh, no. It's got a little bounce to it, little swag. I feel the same way about Roll Bounce. Those would be my two heaters on here.
That's cool. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I other picked it. I was thinking about other albums. I was like, well, you know, I wanted to do something like L.A. I thought about Street Gospel because that album is another like classic to me that never gets mentioned. And I was like, well, maybe you could do a Kendrick album. But I was like, Kendrick has ever. I don't know what's left to say about Kendrick.
Yeah.
And plus, you guys already did, I think, a To Pimp a Butterfly episode, right?
No, we did Section 80.
Section 80, yeah. Right. Yeah. And I thought about doing, like, I was like, well, what's the other, you know, I thought about doing Rich Gang, the first Rich Gang tape, the tour, part one, which I think is, like, another amazing classic that kind of just, if it had, like, a proper major label release and, you know, but it didn't. But I think it's kind of, people recognize it for what it is, but this one has no bad songs, I think. Like, the more I listen to it, I'm like, I guess every song is great. And, like, I guess maybe I'm blind to do it, but it's one of those albums that definitely, you know, and I'm sure you guys both. There's so many albums where the first time you heard it, you're like, and then like the 15th listen, you're like, actually, that's like my favorite album. Sure. And I'm so glad that I had that. And I don't think we necessarily have that anymore because, you know, when you look at your phone and you're like, Spotify is like, here's 50 new Little Pump songs this week. You're like,
Yeah, attention spans are, it's not that they're shorter. It's just there's so much demanding of it. It's harder to devote it.
Yeah. So and I hope with this album, it's one of those albums that like over time its stature and mythology will only kind of self-perpetuate.
I mean, if there's one thing that I would have wanted to see on this album, but I just don't think this is that type of project and he's that type of rapper. But and I generally never say this because I'm a music supervisor and it just seems sacrilegious. But I would love to hear, you know, like a nice, well-placed sample on one of these on one of these songs.
Totally.
I just don't think he's that type of dude. And like I said, I never say that because I'd never be able to clear it. Yeah. But just between us,
he got an Insecure. I forget what song made it. I think it might have been Roll Bounce. Maybe I don't
okay.
know.
Okay, that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. Shout out to Kier.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah, one of my favorites.
If you had to describe Cold Devil in three words, what would those three words be? See, it's always hardest for the writers.
It is.
I know. I need like an hour to like come up with it. And like the you moment guys, I walk out the studio, I'm going to be like that.
You guys always struggle though, but we got time. Go ahead.
Cryptic vernacular perfected.
Ooh, that's good. That's really good.
Bars.
That'll do it for this episode of Heat Rocks with our special guest, journalist Jeff Weiss. Where can people, obviously the site, is it The Passion of the Weiss or PassionoftheWeiss.com?
It's technically PassionWeiss.com,
okay.
But I try to tell people to call it POW now because I feel embarrassed that my name is named after a bad Mel Gibson movie from 2005, which
it's tough crowd,
2004.
Yeah.
It seemed very funny.
It did.
You know, because I was like, oh, I'm Jewish. Right. Guess who hates the Jews? Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very funny when I first started the site. It was also a site that was started, but just because me like to rant crazy
shit
about LA.
And that was the blog era.
Yeah.
So Passion
Weiss. You had a good name though, like Soul Sides. You're like, now that is a good name. That is a good name that could be anything. Great blog too. But I'm sure you guys have. But I would say,
where else can people find
you? Can find me at Passion Weiss on Twitter and Instagram. Also PassionWeiss.com for my website. I'm launching a publication with some very gifted people. Shout out Jen Swan, Sarah Bennett, Evan Solano, Lizzo Anisi, and then Mark Ortega. It's called The Land. We're covering LA Four Locals, Bio Locals, right, to replace the not necessarily replace, but LA Weekly is now run by crypto fascists. So we're trying to do something that covers the community with the respect and dignity and hopefully rigor that it deserves.
Well, good luck with that. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Heat Rocks with me, Oliver Wong, and Morgan Rhodes. Our theme music is Crown Ones by Thess One of People Under the Stairs. Heat Rocks is produced by myself and Morgan. Our booking producer is Shana Deloria. And engineering and editing producer is Christian Duenas. Laura Swisher is our senior producer, and exec producer is Jesse Thorne. We are part of the Maximum Fun family, taping every week live in their studios in the Big Bang Uchi's Westlake neighborhood of Los Angeles.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Heat Rocks Pod. You can find a link to our Facebook group on our webpage, heatrockspod.com. That's where we'll post show notes for every episode, including a track listing of everything you've heard today and more goodies. Again, that's at heatrockspod.com.
We want to thank all of our 5-star iTunes reviewers, and that includes Missy and TX, who writes in after listening to our episode with Chris Malanfi to share, quote, "I've listened to many of them," meaning our episodes, "and they've all been fantastic," unquote. Thanks, Missy. We think you're fantastic. If you haven't had a chance yet, please consider leaving us a review. It's such an important way for new listeners to find their way to us. We might read part of your review on the air.
We also wanted to thank all of our social media family out there, including the following. We want to thank Buddy Peace again for his deep dive into Heat Rocks as a podcast. We also want to thank Sync Tank. We want to thank also Simon Goring, who got into the Janelle Monáe episode and Dirty Computer, of course, that with Evelyn McDonald. We also want to thank Jason Randall Smith. He always holds us down, so we do appreciate you so much. Bill Kavekian for holding us down. We want to thank Ned Raggett. We also want to thank Miss Pointy, Greek Girl, Crom Servo, and Cool Handle Luke. We do so appreciate the Tweezies and the Retweezies. Good to see you, Oliver.
Good to see you too, Morgan.
One last thing. Here's a teaser for next week's episode where I spoke with alternative soul singer and beatmaker Iman Omari about Jay Davies' gorgeous The Beauty in Distortion. They were heavy influence on your own work, on your own production. In what ways? In what ways did they influence you? Your style or?
Yeah, just stylistically. Like, you know, with most producers, there's like a, there's a couple of cadences that you go to cadences, you know, or whatever you're doing, whatever style we're doing. If it's R&B, then it's this go-to. If it's hip hop, then it's this go-to. And I felt like with them, they were trying things that I wanted to do, you know? So like they're doing like double kicks. They're going like, you know what I'm saying? Like they're adding multi kicks opposed to just like the regular, you know, let it laying down the 1, 2, 3, 4. Like they're boom, 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 ta, boom, boom, ta. Like they're doing all of these extra nuances that I was like, oh, okay. So that was, I was super influenced by that because I was like, again, pushing the mold, being progressive because I have a jazz background.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, I don't want to do the same thing. That feels like singing standards to me. Like,
sure.
Which is also boring to me.
Yeah.
Respect to all of the standards, but let's do a rendition or let's, you know, push the mold somehow. So, yeah, like, absolutely. They're constantly pushing the mold, which forced me to do the same because I was listening to it all the time. So, of course, now I'm in there doing the same things. You know what I'm saying? Until I got to a point to where I was Iman Omari.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.